Good morning, everybody. Welcome to PM and the AM. It's Monday morning, and everyone needs to hear the Word of God on Monday morning.
On Monday morning.
That's right. I'm Mike Campbell.
And I'm Jada Campbell.
We're so glad to be with you today on PM and the AM. It's always a great time to start. Monday's a new week, so we start a new program.
Start a new topic.
That's right. Yeah. This week, we're talking about being strengthened by the Word. Now, I hope you got to see last week's program. All five of them were very good. About not losing heart. It is so easy to lose heart with all that's going on in the economy, with all that's going on in the political realm, with all that's going on in the world, with wars and rumors of wars. But you do not have to lose heart because God is with us in everything we do. He said, be of good courage. Do not be dismayed. All right. So this week we're going to talk about being strengthened by the Word.
Right.
So the key is obviously the Word of God. And I like what Philippians 4:12 says. I don't know, maybe you can pull up Hebrews 4:12. It would help if we go to the right book. You can always pull up the right thing, right?
It would definitely help.
It says the Word of God is alive and powerful. All right? You have it right there?
For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires.
All right. So it's the only thing, the Word of God is the only thing that can separate between the soul and the spirit. So in other words, it draws a reference to what is of the Spirit of God and what is of the soulish realm, or literally the carnal thinking of man.
Right.
So our natural thinking, however you want to call it. Okay. Because
right.
Sometimes we've associated carnal as right. a bad word.
But the Word is God. Word of God is alive.
It is alive. It's
a
not
living
dead.
Thing. It
yes.
is powerful.
Right.
Right.
So let's look and see here. There's a couple of things we probably need to look at, but we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's going to be our major scripture for the week. Beginning in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Now notice that. There's going to be a day of judgment. I don't care what people say. I don't care what kind of sin they legalize or approve. There's coming a judgment with God. He's the one that's going to tell whether or not you're going to make it. You do not want to miss out with God. So verse 2 says, preach the word. Now I find this interesting, Jada. It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Mm. Talking about believers now, not
yes.
talking about the world.
That's right.
But according to their own desire. Now notice that. What is it's going to call? James says the same thing. We'll look at that a little bit later in the week. But James says it's our desires that cause us to go astray. So They're giving into their own desires because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Now, notice that.
Right.
And be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry.
Right.
Powerful, powerful admonition from the Apostle Paul to a young minister, Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's admonishing Timothy to beware of some things. But the first thing he says is preach the word. The word is the most powerful thing that we have. What did Jesus do? He preached the word.
He preached the word.
In fact, if you want to look that up in Matthew 4, where he's, I believe it's, is it Matthew 4 where the devil tries to get him to follow him, beginning in verse 1 there somewhere.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.
All right, keep going.
But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not.
All right, stop. What did Jesus say?
He quoted scripture.
The scripture says.
Right.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to stop preaching our opinions, and we certainly got to stop preaching psychology. And we've got to start preaching the word of God. Now, I know there's a place for psychology and there's a place for, you know, things that we do. But listen to me. If you want people set free And if you want people to be able to discern between deception and truth, then you've got to preach the word. Notice what Jesus said here.
He said, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, which is the word of God.
So what do we live on, Jada?
We live on the word of God.
We live on the word. You know, we're out of the faith camp. We attended Rhema 1989 to 1991, graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center. And, you know, during that time, Jada, you know, they were calling it the faith movement or the faith camp and all this other stuff, and giving people a hard time who would come out of the faith camp, you know, and for good reason. There were, you know, there were some things that people were doing and saying that just was a bunch of nonsense.
Well, only good reason that there are a few people who come out and get
a few people. That's right.
But the message itself is solid.
But the message, you're exactly right. It was the word of God. I always loved Dad Hagin because when we picked him up in 1987 and started following him, actually 1977 when I got saved, I started following. The first message I ever listened to was El Shaddai by Brother Hagin. And the first book, Christian book I read was The Believer's Authority or Authority of the Believer. I can't remember what it's
at. It's Authority of the Believer. The new edition is the Believer's Authority.
So I'm telling you right now, what he believed then, he still believed when he died in 2003. Was it 2003? Yeah. He was still preaching the word of God.
You remember when you stopped and asked him a question? You know, when we were there, we got to actually be under him, under his teaching in Faith Library.
Right.
And he would say, if you have a question, just stop and ask me. And you stopped and asked him a question.
He said, if you see me going across campus and nobody's with me, just come up to me and ask. Well, that day that he was preaching, I had a question concerning prophets and apostles of the nowadays and some is along that line. And so I walked up to him and I said, because he said he was headed over to his office. I said, Brother Hagin, I'd like to ask a question. And he said, well, if you can walk with me, that'll be fine. I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, what's your question? And I said, well, in class today, you said a certain thing. And my question is this. And then I noticed I was walking by myself. And so I stopped and I kind of looked back. I'd taken maybe two steps, maybe three. And I looked back and he said, you got your Bible with you? And I said, yes, sir. You know I do. And he said, yeah, every good Rhema student has their Bible. And he said, come here. And he told me to open. He gave me five scriptures. I opened to the first one, to the second, to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth. And he looked me in the eye. And he said, now, does that answer your question? And I said, yes, sir, it does. I said, I have one other question. He started walking toward his office. He said, what is it? And I said, when you were doing this, were you talking about this particular person, blah, blah, blah? And he, again, he stopped. This time he put his hand against my arm. He said, I was. And here's what made that thing an issue. And he told me. And then he said, anything else? And I said, no, sir. And he went on about his business. But what I wanted you to see is that he answered by the word of God.
That's right. He didn't say, well, this is what I think, or this is what I read. He said, he literally just gave you scriptures and led you to the scriptures.
And you know, most of the time when people ask questions and they're asking biblical questions, they deserve a biblical answer. Or if they're asking a question that needs to be, maybe it's like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. And asked Jesus, he said, teacher, we know you're a man who's come from God, for no one can do the miracles you did. And Jesus looked at him and immediately answered and said, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I mean, he answered him with the word of God.
Right.
He didn't ask a question. But Jesus knew where he was, what he was really there for, and Jesus went to it, and then he explains it in the rest of the that.
And I think
discourse.
There were some other times too when Jesus was asked a question, and it sounded like he didn't answer the question, but he actually answered what needed to have been asked. And I think sometimes we need to listen to what people are asking us, and the Holy Spirit, in a sense, is reading between the lines. Yeah. People sometimes don't know how to ask something, or they're asking by circling around the bush when really there needs to be an issue that needs to be talked about. And so I think being led by the Spirit in moments like that and answering with the word of God instead of, And even if you have read the Word of God and then you just tell it in your own words, it's better if you give it from the Word of God. And if you can't think of the reference, we need to look it up and I'll get back to you with that. Right. You know, be careful about giving opinions.
And that's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter where you are, or what you're doing. And Jesus answered with a biblical answer. When they brought the woman in the caught in adultery, he didn't just write in the sand just to write in the sand. I don't know what he wrote. What he wrote evidently wasn't important because it's not mentioned.
Right.
But here's what was important. When he stood, he said, you who were without sin, cast the first stone. You see, what did he say in John 3? He said, Romans 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when Jesus said, you who is without sin, you throw the first stone, he had a biblical answer to a biblical question.
Right.
She was caught in adultery. The law said, stone her. What do you say? I say, you who've never sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone.
Right.
But see, they had all sinned. And the Bible says they were all convicted. They were all convicted. I think what we got to be careful about, ladies and gentlemen, is making sure that we're always ready to give an answer that will bring conviction when it's necessary.
Right.
It has to be filled with the Word of God.
Right.
Because the Word brings conviction.
That's right. You know, right? When you were talking about the scripture where he was being tempted and he said, bread, we don't live like by bread alone. That does come from Deuteronomy 8:3. So Jesus was not
quoting
just speaking from himself, but he was actually quoting the Old Testament, the Word of God.
That's right.
And not only creating the Word of God, right? Just creating the Word of God in the New Testament, but he was quoting the Old Testament.
So many times we hear people say, well, I think. Well, you know what? When biblical answers are needed, it's not about what you think. It's about what the Word says. And so that's what's important. Well, I don't know, Jada, we don't have any more time today. I don't know how we got away so fast. I guess I took too long.
Just a little bit of an intro.
But we're going to have a great week this week talking about being strengthened by the Word. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person watching. Pray today will be a great day. I thank you right now for what you're doing in our lives. And thank you now. The Word strengthens us and gives us comfort in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, this is PM in the AM. Will you receive the engrafted word that is able to change your life and destiny if you allow it? Don't forget to click your follow, share, and like button right down there somewhere. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe now so you can follow what Mike Campbell Ministry is doing.
Yeah.
And make sure that you check us out every Monday through Friday, somewhere around 7 o'clock.
That's right. So join us again tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, for more at PM in the AM. God bless everybody. And have a great day.
God bless.